Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to welcome everyone and kind of review the purpose of the meeting. The commission has been interested in whitetail hunt for a while. We get a lot of testimony about it around hunting season usually, and as a result we ask staff as we move into the preparation for the three-year packet to take a look at some of the issues that we hear about in testimony, concern about the health of the herd. And we have been dealing with that actually with harvest issues. You'll recall in Northeast Washington, we've made the hunt an antlerless hunt for a couple of years now and have added groups to the antlerless restriction to try to deal with the herd health. In addition, we hear testimony about hunt quality and bucks. And so we ask that this be considered during the three-year packet. And as a result, the department actually contracted with the WSU Socioeconomic Research Center to do a rather extensive survey of our whitetail hunters to try and gauge some of these issues about hunt quality. And thank you, staff, for following through on that in preparation for the three-year hunt, or the three-year packet, rather. So that's what we're going to hear about today. We're going to go into the results of the survey and ideas to respond to what we learned from the survey. It's interesting. We manage this hunt really as a good opportunity. It's a general season, and the majority of the respondents, that's really seems to be what they're looking for. We'll go into this probably in more detail, but there is a significant fraction who of the respondents who did indicate that they're interested in seeing improved quality of the hunt. So I think staff has really taken a deep dive into this, and today we're going to hear about some ideas about how we can approach the fact that there really is kind of a split among our whitetail hunters in terms of what their interests are. So with that, Eric, do you want to start?
I will, but I'll be very, very brief. Just make best use of our time. We've got Brock Haines here, and as well as Anise Audi, and we're going to turn it over to Brock, and he can begin his presentation and walk through it, and then we'll just entertain conversation, I think. So, Brock, it's all yours.
I see Barbara has her hand up.
Yeah, it just seems that it. Okay, so with this Zoom era, ushering in and out new commissioners is a problem, and we haven't properly feted our commissioners who have left, and I'm not sure we've properly welcomed our commissioners who are coming on, which we will do at our next Zoom, at our regular meeting, but I think we should at least note that we have two commissioners on the line, Fred Kuntz and Lorna Smith, that we haven't seen before. And so I just thought maybe Fred and Lorna might at least want to show their face before we get going, so you guys know who they are, if nothing else.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Barbara. I hope you can hear me. There you go. I just lit up. I'm sitting up here looking out my window on Vancouver Island. No, not really. I'm in Duval. That's the beauty of Zoom. You can be anywhere. But I'm really delighted to be able to join the commission, and been involved in wildlife for a long time, so the Wildlife Committee is especially interesting to me. And thank you for the welcome, and I look forward to learning and listening from everybody over the next months and years. So thank you very much.
And I'll just kind of echo what Fred said. I know everybody pretty much. I've worked with all of you in various capacities. The squeaky toy you hear in the background when I'm not on mute is my 4-month-old German Shepherd puppy. So I will stay on mute most of the time. But yes, I'm glad to be here, glad to join the commission. Like Fred, wildlife has been my passion and profession for a long time now. So thank you.
This is Jim Anderson. I just wanted to say hello and welcome you and the like. So I'm looking forward to a lot of meetings together.
Thank you.
This is Molly Linville, and likewise, and thank you for doing this, Barbara, because I'm very junior myself, and onboarding in person is awkward enough. So this is especially challenging. So I just also want to say welcome, Fred and Lorna. I'm really pleased that you're on board. And if we don't look very friendly on screen, we actually are and approachable. So welcome.
I actually think it's a good looking group. So I'm impressed.
Thanks. Thanks, Barbara. So, and welcome. We're glad to have you.
One thing I will add is behind me actually is my view, but it's a fake one today. That's Protection Island that I see out my window.
Beautiful. All right. Kim, or Commissioner Thorburn, are you ready for us to move over to Brock's presentation?
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. Welcome aboard the new commissioners. As Barb or Kim alluded to, we're going to go through. Staff kind of went through, heard what the our hunters had to say about there is an interest in managing for more mature whitetail deer in Northeast Washington. We'll touch on the survey results that we did with WSU, and then we'll kind of walk through all the options that we thought were viable, with the objective of, okay, if we really want to manage for more mature bucks, we've got to increase buck escapement. So we sent out a document last night. I don't know how many folks had a chance to review that, but that's what I'm going to be over this morning. So just to start, a general overview of the opportunities that we provide for whitetail deer in Northeast Washington right now. Our archery season, we have an early season and we have a late season. Our early season can vary between a 23-day season to a 29-day season because it always opens on the first and it closes last Friday of the month because the muzzleloader season opens the first Saturday or the last Saturday in September. The late season for archery are hard calendar dates of November 25th through December 10th, and so it's always a 16-day season. Modern firearm, we also have an early season and a late season. The early season is always 14 days. It opens the first Saturday after October 10th. Our late season, we have a hard close date of November 19th. And that's been in place for, I think, more than a decade now. And then we always open to ensure we have two full weekends for hunters to make it out in the field. So what that means is this season varies with the calendar year. And it can range from a 9-day season to a 15-day season. So I think this year was one of the years that we had a 15-day season. For muzzleloader, we also have early season and late season. The early season, as I mentioned earlier, opens the last Saturday in September, and it runs for 9 days. The late season is only open in one game management unit. That's in 113, and it's a hard calendar date with 14 days. And then we have very few special permit opportunities for bucks in Northeast Washington. There's 5 permits that in each GMU, except for 113, because we have that open general season for muzzleloader. And those dates are November 20th through 24th. And that's kind of the peak rut when people want to be out there, but very limited special permit opportunity. So as I worked with staff to go through this and come up with options, we really had 2 objectives. We wanted to improve hunter satisfaction relative to their opportunity to harvest a mature buck. and we wanted to retain late season opportunities because those are very important to our hunters, and it's a really unique opportunity to get out there and hunt whitetails at that time of the year. So the general theme of the proposals that we'll kind of review are eliminate the general seasons for late season and replace that with special permits. We could shorten late general seasons. We could adjust the timing of the late general season so they're not so close to the peak of the rut. And then we could implement antler point restrictions.
Brock, may I interject just for one second? So not everybody from the public may have been able to gather the documents. Are you planning to share your screen at any point, or do we need to make sure people know which document you're kind of talking from? I know you mentioned it once already, but.
I can definitely share my screen if that's what we'd like. I think they got posted on the website as well as materials.
They did, and they're in the comment chat there.
Great.
Yep.
So whatever you're most comfortable with, that if people, as long as people know you're kind of tracking along with that one document.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So for considerations for all the proposals that we kind of put together, something that when we looked at our harvest data, 83% of harvest of 4-point and 5-point bucks is occurring during the early and late modern firearm general seasons. 57% of the harvest of those bucks is occurring during the late season. So if you're really wanting to implement something to increase the escapement of those 4- and 5-point bucks, you really need to target that late modern firearm season because that's over half of the harvest is occurring there. There's no guarantee that any of these proposals will improve hunter satisfaction relative to opportunities to harvest mature bucks. And the example is we explicitly manage our elk herds to ensure that we retain a mature segment, mature bulls in the population. And I can tell you that our hunters are not satisfied with their opportunities to harvest mature bucks or mature bulls because it comes with more restrictions. The prevalence of chronic wasting disease is consistently highest in adult bucks. So if you start managing for more mature bucks in the population, we could actually be increasing our risk associated with CWD. Some pros for all the proposals that we put together and considered. 50% of hunters indicated shooting a mature buck was important or extremely important in our survey from WSU. 51% of hunters were not satisfied with the number of mature whitetail bucks seen from that survey. 57% of hunters were not satisfied with the opportunity to harvest a whitetail buck. And 42% of hunters in that survey agreed that whitetail deer in Northeast Washington should be managed to produce more mature bucks, even if it means reduced opportunity. And then lastly, none of these proposals would have a negative effect on the population. Some of the cons associated with all these proposals is 58% of hunters agreed that hunting regulations are already too restrictive. Only 10% of hunters indicated that hunting regulations should be more restrictive. 55% of hunters who hunt in District 1 disagreed that whitetail deer populations should be managed to produce more whitetail deer bucks if it means reduced opportunity. All strategies to manage for more mature bucks had greater than 70% opposition, except for the 2-point options and the 3-point options in our WSU survey. So what we kind of gleaned from that early on was, yep, there's a clear desire for more opportunity for mature bucks and more mature bucks in the population, but there was very little support to implement more restrictions to get there. Any reduction in hunter days or participation could have economic ramifications for local communities. And we saw this last time when we had 4-point and 117 and 121, 2011 to 2014, we saw a substantial reduction in hunter numbers. And we heard from the local communities at that time. We're also hearing that currently with that population decreasing, we've seen in the last 5 years, we've seen hunter numbers decrease as well. And we've heard that from the communities. So if we considered any change to our current season structure within this current three-year package cycle, it was staff's recommendation that we do this on a district level, 105 through 121, rather than trying to dial into one specific GMU where we might try something. And the reasons, the justifications for that, it simplifies the regulations. Choosing which GMUs would be difficult and require substantial public input. When we did our WSU survey, 57% of hunters indicated that if we were to implement antler point restrictions, that they should be implemented in all GMUs and not just one. And we assume any other proposal that would include further restrictions, that same sentiment would hold, that folks would, the majority would prefer that we do it district-wide. This also addresses concerns about hunters going to other GMUs and resulting in crowding issues. So if we implement something in one GMU, hunters that don't like that restriction, they're likely to go somewhere else, and that overflow could result in hunter crowding elsewhere. The different options that we considered were an 8-day late season with hard calendar dates of November 12th through 19th. So that's a substantial difference from a calendar year where we had a 15-day late season, but it's not that much different from a short year when the current season structure would result in a 9-day season. And it retains that historical close date of November 19th, and it gives hunters that opportunity close to the rut that we've always had.
Brock, Eric here, could you maybe explain that just a little bit more, that you started with the calendar year and the long season? There's something that happens there in that structure. Could you just touch on that, please?
Yeah, so it always closes on the 19th, and then we open on whatever Saturday we need to ensure there's two full weekends for hunters to hunt. And so the earliest it can open is November 5th, and it runs through the 19th, and that ends up being a 15-day season. And then I don't remember what the latest it can open, but the shortest can be a 9-day season. So I think it's the 11th, using that structure. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the list of options that we considered, tell the commission kind of where our recommendation is, and then we can review any of those in more detail after that. So we considered an 8-day late season. We considered a 4-point antler point restriction in GMU 117 has been proposed by the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group. We considered a 5-day late season, but closer to the peak of the rut. It would be November 21st through the 25th, kind of where our season is right now for our special permits. We considered a permit only for modern firearm late season with hard calendar dates of November 15th through the 25th. We considered a 3-point antler point restriction, and we considered a 9-day late season with hard calendar dates of November 7th through 15th. And so that put the late season earlier and further away from the peak of the rut than what it is currently. And as we went through each of those proposals, we listed out what we thought the pros and cons of those were. Most of the proposals, almost all of them, are a substantial change from what we currently have and what we've had in place for several years. And we felt like those need to be vetted more with our hunters and with our public before we implement them as a recommendation. And so we gravitated to the 8-day late season with a hard calendar date of November 12th and 19th. It shortens the modern firearm late season, but retains the traditional end date of November 19th. It will always include one full weekend, but we'll have an additional weekend day when the 12th falls on a Saturday or a Sunday. The pros for this proposal are it maintains general season opportunity. It's likely to increase buck escapement. It lessens confusion for hunters regarding season dates, and it makes it easier for them to plan their hunts. The cons associated with this proposal is hunter success is likely to decrease. It reduces hunt days, and 93% of hunter respondents to the WSU survey were opposed to shortening season length. Anise, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify why we gravitated towards the late season restrictions rather than the 4-point that is always suggested. Is from the survey that we saw from hunters is they would like to see older age class bucks, and escapement of older age class bucks is less likely to happen with the 4-point restrictions because you're only protecting the younger bucks. If we want escapement of older age class bucks, we want to limit harvest during the rut, which is when those bucks are most vulnerable. So that's why we gravitated towards a late season restriction rather than an antler point restriction. And I just wanted to make that clear ahead of time so you would understand why we may not be as excited about a 4-point restriction. Although it would save bucks, it may not save the older age class bucks that people want to see in on the landscape.
So another option that we discussed kind of after we put this together was also a 9-day late season with hard calendar dates. That would ensure that would offer the calendar cycle is on a 7-year cycle. So the season timing kind of every 7 years starts over. And with a 9-day season, that would offer two years in that 7-year cycle where there would be two full weekends for hunters to hunt. So with that, I would ask the commission, would we like to review the other options in more detail? If you didn't get a chance to review the document we sent out.
Commissioners, do you have questions or do you want to discuss any of the other options? Not seeing any questions, Brock. Good job.
Well, let's see. I haven't figured out that. Are we using the raise hand thing? Oh, there it is down below.
Yeah. Lorna used a raise hand generally, but that's, yeah.
Okay.
Ed, fire away.
Okay. So what I'm wondering is the newcomer or just trying to get down to the brass tacks, why are we making these changes? And how significant are the changes that we're making? That's what it's hard for me as the real newcomer to judge. And I don't expect to be totally brought up to speed right here and now, but that's what I'm kind of trying to figure out.
Yeah, so we've consistently heard from a constituent in the Northeast that we need to manage for more mature white-tailed deer. And that's largely been suggested that we do that by managing with a 4-point antler point restriction. We had a 4-point antler point restriction from 2011 and to 2014 in game management units 117 and 121. Mm-hmm. That was pulled back in 2015. We consistently hear a request for us to re-implement that strategy and manage for more mature bucks. We did the WSU survey to try to get a sense of what do other hunters in Northeast Washington, what are their sentiments relative to mature bucks? And based on that feedback, as I alluded to, the survey results do indicate that a large majority of our hunters are interested in managing for more mature bucks. And so that's what we wanted to consider. And it's not, the 8-day season is not that big of a change in the years where the season is 9 days long, but it is a substantial change from the years when it's a 15-day season. And so in those short years, it won't be that big of a difference, but in the long years, we're talking about 6-7 days less to hunt. And so in those years, we would expect buck escapement to improve.
And Lorna, I see the hand. Lorna, I would just add that Northeast Washington is where people hunt whitetail. It's where our whitetail deer population exists. So what we're talking about are hunters who come from all over the state.
Right.
So.
And I recognize that part of the issue when you look at it that way is economic impacts on little communities that are trying to make that part of their business model. So,
Exactly. Good point. Yeah. So, Jim, I saw your hand go up. I see everybody's hand. I'll take you in the order that I saw them come up.
Okay. I guess I'm interested in having a little discussion about the 4-point APR, because I think that's obviously, one consideration. But I do have a question with regard to the interest in the large, more mature bucks and the extent to which that's biologically supportable or biologically knowable. The question is, to me, is whether or not this is a real or imagined problem.
Yeah, so our position has always been that we feel, the agency feels like buck escapement currently and for whitetails in Northeast Washington is more than adequate. We, even with our any buck strategy, we see approximately 50% of our harvest is 4 and 5 point bucks. That is in drastic contrast to what a lot of Midwestern and Northeastern states that implemented antler point restrictions, what they were seeing in their harvest, where 80% of their harvest was yearlings. And we just simply don't see that in whitetails in Northeast Washington. We can absolutely manage for more mature bucks if that's what our public and our hunters want. But right now, our buck escapement is adequate, even with an any buck strategy, from a biological perspective.
Thanks, Chairman, Commissioner Thorburn. I'm not sure if you are there, and if you wanted to continue with the hands raised. I know Jim had talked about wanting to hear more about the 4-point option, but I think we have a few people in the queue.
Yeah, sorry, I muted myself. So I saw Kelly's hand up and I don't see it anymore. Kelly, do you want to make a point? All right,
Thanks, Commissioner Thorburn. I was just going to round out a little bit Brock's answers to Commissioner Smith and just point out that the starting place is we're on a 3-year cycle. And so on 3-year cycle, we look at seasons in general, everything's on the table. Do we want to make changes? Then within that, then everything Brock said about the focus on more mature bucks and whitetail, just a little more complete picture.
Thanks, Kelly. Okay, so Molly, I see your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Kim. I have kind of two questions. So anecdotal, I'm familiar with mule deer hunting and not whitetail. And I obviously live in a very different type of landscape. And anecdotally, I've noticed that when there isn't the 2 weekends in the season, the hunting seems to be a little bit more frenetic, for a better terminology. And people seem, they're hurrying. There may be, I don't want to call it bad behavior, but because they're under some pressure to get out there, get their animal and get in, it creates a feeling, for a better, lack. And I'm wondering if that happens sort of in whitetail country too, because out here people just drive up and down the road a lot, and that's probably not happening in that more dense whitetail type of country. So I'm wondering if shortening the season might add to some of that. And my second question is kind of around what Jim was talking about, is if what we're going for is buck escapement, like how, and we shorten the season, how how helpful do we think this is? And I know that's a spitball question, but if we're going to make changes, I kind of want to get just a broad sense of how helpful we think that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I saw Ansa's and Eric's hands pop up there. Real quick, I think it's hard to predict. It's hard for us to predict what hunter behavior will be. I definitely think there's high demand for our resource, and I agree with what you're saying, Molly. I see that as well, and I do think folks feel pressure and are more likely to do unethical things. If you talk about enforcement, I think we see that a lot with elk because the demand for elk in the state is so high and success is so low. Really, people really push their ethical kind of boundaries, I think, when they feel like their opportunity is very limited. I don't think any of our options are to that extreme in terms of restrictions that would result in that same kind of behavior, but I think that's hard to predict. Anise and Eric, and then to your second point about, you know, what do we think this would actually result in terms of buck escapement? That's without some very sophisticated model to put together, that would be hard to kind of figure out. We do know if you reduce hunter days, you're going to increase buck escapement. To what extent? We aren't comfortable really predicting that right now. Like, would it be 10%? Would it be 20%? I can't really tell you that number, but I do know it'll increase. Anise and Eric, or we'll start.
Yeah. I just wanted to maybe clarify, Molly, that this is only restrictions on the late season. There's still the general regular season that has more 2 weekends in it already. So yeah, it does restrict the late season, which is when more older bucks are vulnerable because it's closer to the rut. So that's the only part we're thinking of restricting. And as far as, you know, how much escapement, we can probably look back at some of our data when we had 15 day seasons and then we had 9 day seasons and look at buck harvest overall and kind of get a feel for it. But as Brock mentioned, it's hard to gauge the percentages because weather oftentimes has a lot to do with how vulnerable some of the animals are.
And the status of the population. So we know that population has increased and decreased within the last 10 years. And so overall harvest is going to be related to the current status and trend of the population. And so it's hard to tease that out. What I will say is with this 8 day season, I don't think it does much on the years where they were 9 or 10 day seasons, but I do think it will increase buck escapement in those years that would have been, you know, the 15, 13 day seasons. Eric.
Thank you, Brock. And I know we need to move on. I think these questions kind of reflect the fact that we haven't really reinforced quite yet the department's recommendation and why. And I just want to make sure when you get there that you talk a little bit about there are those variables in population numbers, et cetera. Having a more structured number of days in the season actually will allow us to have a little bit better handle on, you know, what's happening with success rates and that sort of thing. So one of, in your pros list, I don't think you really have it listed there, but it had to do with the consistency of season dates and being able to really compare results of that season based on similar effort and time frame. So but I don't want to take up more time, you know, perhaps let's get into the other options, APR, and then when we, you know, kind of reinforce whatever, you know, the recommendation, maybe hit the highlights as to why.
Thanks. I'm going to ask a question about this too. I think Molly raised a really important point. I've been sitting in the WAFWA meetings and hunter crowding has been an important discussion that the commissioners held yesterday. Talk a little bit, Brock, about how the hunter population distributes across the early and late seasons. And so that might help us get an impact, an idea about the impact of the hunter crowding, potential hunter crowding issue that Molly brought up.
Yeah, so that's kind of hard to speak to. I think that's going to be more anecdotal evidence because we don't track hunter participation down to the, you know, general season or late seasons. The only questions we ask them are, which GMUs did you hunt most in? And so we don't know whether that activity occurred in the general season or the late season. Now, that being said, I know that late season is a very popular hunt. And I know several hunters that will go and try to hunt mule deer during the mule deer season. And then if they're not successful, they'll go to that late whitetail season as a backup.
Thanks. So I think I don't see any more hands. Do you want to move
Barbara
on?
Barbara has her hand up, Kim. And Fred has a question, too. He's working out the raise hand function.
Okay. Barbara.
Thanks, Kim. Sorry in advance. My internet's very unstable today. So I was just, when we talk about the recommendations, thank you, Brock and Anise and Eric, for a good presentation. When we think about the recommendations, and somebody just said this, you know, not only what it is, but the why of what it is, I think it's pretty important that we figure out what question we're trying to answer. And so maybe just for the new people, or maybe for the old people like me, this 4-point restriction has been presented as a conservation tool that would increase herd health and population and the doe buck ratio. I mean, I want to know if there is something to that. It's also been presented as a mechanism to get to a quality hunt, which is basically something about hunters would prefer to shoot big deer. And then we've also heard from hunters who say, I want to shoot deer for meat and I don't really care how big it is. So as we go through the recommendations, I think it's important for us to characterize what the question is, and that'll help us come to a decision. For me, what the question is there any conservation benefit to any of these? Obviously, if we shorten the season, there probably is, to escapement, and especially to the difference between the 4-point and the other options. We have blacktail here, not whitetail. We had a very similar dispute a few years ago, and we decided to sort of leave things alone, as far as I remember. So anyway, that's I'd like to know how these impact the conservation of the species as well. Thanks.
Yeah, let's, Jim had asked to talk a little bit about the APR. So Barbara, if you don't mind, let's hear what Fred wants to ask, and we'll move into the APR option.
My question was exactly following along Barbara's line of questioning. The only thing I would frame a little bit different is, I'm wondering if your primary interest is filling your freezer versus if your primary interest is your trophy. Is there, you know, a difference in which option you would prefer? I guess I'm feeling that with the pandemic and the need to fill freezer for some of our hunters, you know, I'm a little bit more sympathetic in that direction. So I want to make sure I understand the impact on those folks that are hunting to fill their freezer, especially in these challenging times.
Thank you. Brock, you want to talk a little bit about the APR and deal with these questions?
Yeah, we can do that. So we'll go over the APR. The pros that we saw with this proposal are, it maintains general season opportunities. It increases buck escapement for bucks with less than 4 points. These are mostly going to be yearlings. Hunter crowding issues may decline if hunter numbers decline, as we saw in 2011 through 2014 when we implemented 4-point. Hunter success may increase if hunter numbers decline. 75% of respondents from the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group's survey indicated support for a 4-point antler point restriction in GMU 117. Some of the cons that we identified were, hunter numbers are likely to decline, because we've seen that before. 77% of hunter respondents to the WSU survey were opposed to a 4-point antler point restriction. It would affect the highest number of hunters that oppose the regulation, because GMU 117 is one of the most popular units to hunt in Northeast Washington. It may result in an increase of non-legal bucks being shot. It limits harvest opportunity. It increases harvest pressure on truly mature 4.5 year older or older bucks. 59% of hunters that did not support antler point restrictions did so because they believed there are already enough mature bucks in the population. 57% of hunters indicated antler point restrictions should be implemented in all GMUs if we were to consider it and not just a subset. And if antler point restrictions are implemented, hunters indicated youth, senior, and disabled hunters should be exempt. And with the current proposal, only youth hunters would be exempt. So from the conservation perspective, you don't need more mature bucks in these populations to sustain population viability. That research has been well established in the Midwest and Eastern whitetail populations and the work that's been done there. Even in places where they've implemented antler point restrictions and they have shown that they've increased the number of mature bucks in the population, it doesn't increase the reproductive performance of those populations. The yearling bucks in those populations are still doing a lot of the breeding because of the way whitetail breed and the way that system works. It's a chase system with bucks running around and tending does from one group to the next. And so even if you have a lot of mature bucks in the population, that doesn't mean the mature bucks are going to do most of the breeding. So there is no conservation argument to manage for more mature bucks. What we're seeing out of the CWD research now is, if anything, there's an argument not to manage for more mature bucks because of the risk associated with chronic wasting disease. And mature bucks consistently have highest prevalence of chronic wasting disease in deer populations, both mule deer and whitetail. And they also are the most likely to spread the disease. And that's because during the rut, as I just mentioned, they're running around a large area trying to tend and breed does. So a lot of states that had antler point restrictions and then became CWD positive, they're actually going back to a strategy to try to reduce the number of mature bucks in their population to reduce the prevalence of chronic wasting disease and the spread of that disease. I see Steve's hand up. Steve, would you like to jump in?
Thank you, Brock. Good morning, commissioners. I just wanted to add to this piece. Brock mentioned it very early on in the presentation, but it seemed like a good opportunity to mention that from the standpoint of a desire to increase this white-tailed deer population, we have said we recognize that the population is currently less than what it has been historically. There is no question about that. Multiple factors associated with a reduced deer population. Our response to increasing the deer population has been the elimination of antlerless opportunity. And that is the driver in whitetail systems. We do not have a pregnancy rate problem. This is not an issue of lack of bucks to do breeding, as Brock was just describing, relative to whitetail ecology and the way that system works. So our response to increasing the population is focused squarely on the antlerless component, which is where we believe it is appropriate. And so that brings us to this issue of hunter satisfaction and hunters' almost universal interest in seeing more bucks on the landscape. And whether this is Northeast Washington or whether this is Idaho or Montana or Wyoming, when you survey hunters, a hunter will say they'd like to see more bucks in the population. So just maybe a reinforcement of our response to a reduced population and bringing us back to the fact that this is a hunter satisfaction question about what they'd like to see on the landscape, not being driven by the biology.
Thanks, Steve. Lorna?
You're muted.
Sorry. So just to clarify what I think I heard Steve just say, contrary to what Fred was alluding to, and maybe Barbara as well, hunters who want to go out and stock their freezer full of meat because maybe they actually need to do that, they still have an interest in those older, more mature bucks, which to me doesn't make sense as somebody who grew up on venison, but I guess they're trying to get both that locker full of meat and the head to hang on the wall or the antlers or whatever. So is that?
Oh, you muted yourself before you finished.
So is that kind of the way it is?
Yeah, so we asked a series of questions when we did our WSU survey. That survey kind of built on itself. And there was a series of questions that got to the values that our hunters have for, you know, hunting white-tailed deer. And you're exactly right. Values like being outdoors, being with friends and family, filling my freezer, those were, you know, up at the top tier. 85, 90% of people said those are the driving reasons why I go out and hunt. Seeing bucks and seeing mature bucks and having the opportunity to harvest mature bucks, those actually ranked the lowest, even though there was still approximately 50% of our hunters that indicated that's a high value for me. It was the lowest compared to other values like getting outside. I think the way you characterize that is most hunters, yeah, I want to be outside. I want to fill my freezer. But if I'm given the opportunity, if I see a nice buck, I would love to harvest that animal, you know, and I want to see more of that opportunity, but I don't need it to get out there and go hunt. Those aren't my primary drivers. That's how I would characterize it.
Very, very good. So Commissioner Thorburn, I think we're kind of at the point, you know, just a reminder, of course, that, and I know everybody knows this, but Wildlife Committee, you know, not decision-making body, the department is looking to finalize what we actually put into our CR 102, which is basically the department's recommendation. You know, we're looking to put the following rule into place, receive comment from the public about that rule, and then come back to the commission with our final recommendation where the commission gets to decide one way or another. Our real interest in this conversation is to make sure we've had good dialogue with all of you to understand, you know, what is the appetite for the, you know, where the department needs to go in that CR 102. And so just to kind of reinforce and bring us back, you know, I think we still have a little bit of time. We have a little over a half hour still. You know, pull us back to where we're kind of headed towards as a department recommendation to put, you know, something along the lines of the 8-day or the 9-day season into our CR 102 as the proposal and receive feedback on that. And we're also just trying to understand if there's an appetite for, you know, anything else to consider in that, you know, in that step that we're going to fulfill with this CR 102.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Okay, now I see some hands. I don't see what order they went up, but Molly, why don't you go ahead and make your point?
Thanks, Kim. So I spent a lot of time last night with these numbers and with supplemental information that was sent to us by the group that's the most interested in the APR. And this is a tough one for me in a way because it's pretty hard to ignore such a passionate group that is, you know, really thoughtful in what they're saying. And then I get the numbers and the numbers really don't support making a change. I mean, quite frankly, and that's hard because you know, I just, when somebody's passionate about wildlife, I, you know, gosh, what can we do to be supportive of that and really encourage that kind of participation? And so, you know, smacking down the idea is hard for me, and then the numbers don't support it. So that's kind of where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. And so I wondered if, you know, I hate bringing problems with no solutions to the table. And so I wondered if there was any chance for something along the lines of maybe incentives for hunters to harvest 4-point or better. I don't know what that would look like. And I hate to throw a new thing into the mix, but it's sort of a nod towards, you know, these folks wanting, you know, mature bucks and, but not without changing the regulations themselves or not restricting anything. And so I guess that's probably what I'm thinking towards. What can we do to incentivize harvesting those bigger bucks without adding restrictions on? And I don't know if that's possible or not, but that's kind of where my brain's going with this, is that I don't see regulation restrictions as being, you know, a big benefit to this. So how can we benefit what this group is wanting out of us?
Thanks, Molly. I think what we'll do before staff responds is let's toss out our ideas and responses, and then we'll return to staff. Okay, Jim.
Okay. Couple thoughts. First off, with regard to the, you know, an 8-day kind of fixed season in the East, I mean, we in the West, and maybe Barbara was referring to this, in the West, we've had a 4-day late season for blacktail forever. That hasn't been a floater in number of days or time or whatever. So maybe it's clearly a different animal between the whitetail and the blacktail, but clearly those of us that hunt over here in the late season have gotten used to that. So maybe there's just an adjustment factor there. The I do have a question with regard to the waiver, if you will, or the opportunities to continue to have youth, perhaps disabled and 65 and older hunters continue to hunt in an APR situation. And I guess the question to me is the extent to which that contributes to, or what's the success rate of those hunters, and how might that actually undermine or affect the purpose of the APR?
Do you want to go ahead and answer that, Brock? Do you have any sense of that?
I don't at this point, and so I don't want to misspeak and give numbers. I don't know what the youth and senior disabled, how that would shake out in terms of what proportion of the harvest they account for and what their success rates are relative to other hunters.
We don't know that information historically by the region or by statewide. Are there indications that the youth take 15% of the harvest, or is it pretty much similar to the general?
No, it's definitely not similar to what we see in our general season harvest in terms of what, you know, the proportion of total harvest and what that accounts for. I do know it varies. It varies by species and across the state. I know Anne Marie, the district biologist, was going to log on and watch. She may, if we can call her in, she may have that information available. She may be able to respond to that. Nicole, are we able to do that?
Sorry, Kim, I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to ask if you could bring Anne Marie in as a panelist, please.
Okay, Anne Marie should be a panelist now.
Hi, Anne Marie. Do you have a sense of hunter success by the different groups with your whitetails? Unmute yourself. You're still showing muted, is she?
While she's figuring that out, this is Eric. I'm just wondering, Brock, if I feel like maybe we're missing something. I believe we do have data to some degree on the different success rates by the different demographics. Seems like I've seen that in previous presentations. So maybe I'm off base here, but
we do have it. I just don't think Brock has it right there in front of him.
Right.
Yeah, I can definitely look it up.
Yeah, so I think that was maybe a missing part of the response to Commissioner Anderson. You said it, you indicated it, but it's not that we don't have the information, just wasn't prepared to answer. We don't have it open in front of us.
Yeah.
So I think
I was going to note that. I recall seeing it. It seems to me that the seniors are at least with this group. So Anne Marie, have you figured out how to unmute yourself? There she is.
Yeah, I think I am unmuted, but I'm sorry I missed the question. Somebody called me and I made the mistake of answering.
Okay, so what we're wondering is if you have a sense or if you've got the data in your head about success rate by hunter group. We're talking about whether it would be worth restricting a group that's more successful or, who to allow in these restrictions if we talk about an APR.
Yep, I don't, but I can find it very quickly.
Great, thanks.
And we were discussing, what proportion of the harvest, Anne Marie, do youth, senior, and disabled, what do they account for? So if you provide an exemption for those groups, to what extent would harvest actually be reduced?
Yeah, so that part, I'd have to dig a little deeper, but I do remember looking at that, and this isn't really comparable, but when they were the only groups that were allowed to harvest antlerless, and it was a wild swing from year to year, how many antlerless were harvested. And so I think it could be that same way, because my guess is people are just taking the opportunity that presents itself. And so it might be really hard to predict, but I can find those other success rates.
Thank you.
I would suggest we move on and allow Anne Marie to maybe do that. If she comes back with some numbers, that would be great, but we should maybe tackle another.
I want to, add a few thoughts. I think the notion of incentive is interesting. I guess I would really struggle with 117 being the GMU where if we were to set an APR by a GMU, and the good point has been made that there's more interest if that were to happen in all GMUs. But 117 it's got the most public land. So access, which was one of the issues that was covered in the survey, is better there. And it's the most heavily hunted, I think, or that in 121. If we were to look at an APR, I'd rather see it in another unit. I'm not sure that I'm really supportive of that. But the other thought that I had was to parse this again. I mean, we've looked at the survey data, but as we put out the CR 102, one option might be to put more than one option in and receive testimony including a status quo. In other words, no regulation of that changes the current opportunity. The limited late season, maybe an APR. As I said, I would prefer that it be another one of the units if that were to be the case. But that seems to be one approach that we could take. And then as we receive testimony on the proposed rule, we could hear what our hunters have to say again now that something specific is put out there. So I'm not seeing any other hands.
Commissioner Thorburn, this is Eric. Maybe I and Brock could speak a little bit to that. So as the department, you know, kind of considers what language we would put in the CR 102, you know, normally we would just have a proposed rule. It would be a simple, we're proposing to make the following changes and receive feedback. But it's not, certainly is not unheard of to consider kind of the option route that you're talking about. Think that that could be manageable. We also have to recognize that how that's done matters. So like the idea of maintaining current status quo, it would be helpful in some situations. So let's say we didn't do that and we only proposed an 8-day season for all units or an APR in one unit, whichever one it may be. And then you look at the preponderance of people responding to that. You know, if their options are don't restrict the length of my hunt in all of these other units and go ahead and do APR over there versus do they want APR, it might bias the data a little bit. Your idea of having status quo helps with that because then they can look at, do they want status quo? Would they want would they want a shortened season across all units, or would they like a selected GMU with APR? So anyway, it's just how we would go about that. We would have to think about how the responses, what they really mean, because what are the options and what are they thinking as they go through and evaluate their choices and what we would put in the CR 102. Brock might be able to do a better job of describing it than I just did, but he and I had a conversation about that earlier in the week.
Yeah, I think the way...
Before you answer, Anne-Marie just put in chat some numbers, so... we can go ahead and take a look at that.
Yeah, that's weapon type, not youth disabled or senior.
Yeah, I would have to do a data request probably to get farther into that for anything recent, because I haven't asked for the youth, senior, and disabled since we got rid of antler lists, because everyone's just lumped together. So I don't have that available. And then I'm also going to apologize. I do have another meeting that started at 8:30. So I'm going to have to jump off, but I am available by text if anybody needs anything.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay, Brock, go ahead.
Yeah, just to add on to Anne-Marie's point real quick. The other reason it'll be hard for us to kind of predict what that looks like for youth, senior, and disabled is because our historical seasons for those groups were buck or antlerless. So they had the opportunity during those seasons to also harvest an antlerless deer. And so it's not going to be comparable, and it would be hard for us to tease that out and predict that. Back to kind of what Eric was hitting on, think about 25% of the hunters in District 1 hunt in GMU 117. And so if you look at a proposal that the 8-day season, the option is district wide versus only in 117, those aren't really comparable options. And I think a lot of hunters would say, well, I don't hunt in 117. So I don't really care what's considered there. Versus when they look at the district wide, if they don't want more restrictions, they're not likely to support that.
Okay. So we're of course not making a decision, but the sense of the the committee is move forward with staff recommendation, or do we want to suggest that there be options, there be incentives, we move forward with status quo given the deep dive in the data? Thoughts? Molly?
I guess my sense is we heard Brock say emphatically that their buck escapement is adequate as far as the population goes. And I guess I'm feeling like don't fix what ain't broke a little bit on this one. And but I just really want to do a big head nod to the group that is so engaged on this topic. That is not a, you know, diminishing of what they're trying to accomplish. And I know it's going to sound like it is. So my perspective would be status quo.
Anise, I see your hand. Thanks, yeah, Molly.
I just wanted to maybe highlight something that I heard here, and then that Hunter's also wanted, is to put meat in the freezer. And of all the options, Antler Point restrictions restricts that the most, because then now they're looking for a 4-point or better. And so it makes it less likely that they're going to put meat in the freezer, at least in if we do it in one GMU. So that's another, if that was a high value for Hunters, if we want to restrict, we want to restrict in a way that doesn't preclude people from just going out and putting meat in their freezer. So that's another value, I guess, that both Hunters, some members of this panel have kind of brought up, and one that we consider as well. So just something to think about, I guess.
Thanks. Eric, I see your hand, but Anise brings up, I think, or kind of summarizes my concern. You know, we've already trying to deal with herd health really restricted opportunity with antlerless that didn't exclude the three groups, and then antlerless now in for all groups. So, you know, we've already really, and that's what we see in the survey. You know, people are interested in the opportunity, and so, you know, all of these options are a little bit troubling to me, because they're restricting opportunity. So I thank you for bringing up that point, Anise. Eric?
Yeah, thank you. I had 2 points. One for Commissioner Linville's idea on incentives. I would put out there that there actually are some of those. They're just not through a regulatory process, right? So there are hunt contests. There are things that happen within the community that, you know, that drive that. There is that sort of incentive. And I would also say that that's not necessarily the direction that the general public is leaning in support of hunting. You know, the concept of trophy hunting, it is not as well supported, you know, today as it was, say, a decade ago. But there are ways to incentivize that, and they usually do happen outside of department regulation. They just happen through, you know, hunter group and local incentive contests and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to make that point. It's an interesting concept. I don't know if something easily comes to mind for a way for the department to incentivize that through a regulation change, but perhaps there's a way to incentivize it through outreach, education, media, or other opportunity. And we'd have to think about, is that something that we would choose to do or not? I haven't given it a whole lot of thought, but there might be something we could do to promote that. And then just kind of thinking about this conversation about what's the wildlife program committee's appetite here. I just, to reiterate, you know, I believe the department's recommendation would be, for the structured season for either the 8 or 9 day And there's some reason for that that really does get to what we heard from quite a few of our hunters and trying to address some of those needs, but also on the biological side and our ability to kind of, you know, have a more structured season with regular dates and really have that ability to compare rates based on other factors such as weather and population size, and not also incorporating this variable of seasons running from, you know, 9 to 14, 15 days sort of thing. But if we were to do that with a department recommendation, it wouldn't preclude, you know, status quo being the outcome, which would be, you know, the longer set of dates. So just trying to make sure when we walk away from today's meeting, you know, we kind of understand if that's going to kind of meet the need with a recommendation that would, you know, come from the department for a type of a hunt structure, allowing for public comment on that, which could allow the commission to decide at that point in time if you like that option or if you would prefer, you know, to do something more along the lines of status quo. It gets more complicated if our CR 102 is going to include additional options above and beyond that, like the APR. And I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I haven't heard full-on support for that yet coming from anyone. And so I'm just trying to make sure I understand where we're at. And I'm sensing that it's a proposal from the department in the CR 102 along the lines of a structured season. And as we get that feedback, the commission will be able to determine if they like that option or if they like something more standard.
Thanks, Eric. That's a great clarification. Barbara?
I asked her to unmute herself.
Okay.
Star 6, Barbara.
Thank you. I had to call in because my internet is unstable. I think everybody in Thurston County is on the internet right now. I would just like to point out that my position on this, I'm pretty sure I agree with what Molly said, assuming that I understood it. I'm fine with Eric and Kim's positions. I understand this is a difficult question, but what I'm wondering now, I'd like to, the staff recommendation, I think what we're down to is status quo and what we're calling a structured season. And I want to make sure that's clear or correct, and just make the point that I am all for conservation of this herd, both for itself and for increased opportunity. And so as we go through this, one of the indicators that I'd like to hear is if any of these things actually do increase conservation for the herd. I can see where a structured season would do so, but I would just like for us to hit on those points as we go through.
Brock, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the issues that have affected the herd health in recent years, and how we've responded to that with harvest management?
Yeah, so when it comes to conservation of any ungulate population, whether you're talking about moose or elk or deer, regardless of what subspecies of deer, it comes down to antlerless harvest. So adult doe mortality drives these populations and reproduction and recruitment of those calves. And so anything that we do with buck harvest is not going to be a conservation value unless we see what we used to see in mule deer. We used to have mule deer populations where buck to doe ratios were down in the single digits. And when you get down in the single digits, then you start having issues with reproduction and breeding efficiency and things like that. If you were to implement something there to increase buck escapement, that's a conservation value. But what we're talking here, it comes down to female harvest and reproduction. And nothing that we're proposing with the buck harvest is going to affect the reproduction. Reproduction is going to be mostly driven by, weather events. We've had some of those. We've had some bad weather. We had blue tongue outbreaks in those populations, and we saw substantial reduction in harvest following those years. Those are Those are independent of anything that we do. So we've reduced harvest of antlerless, and we anticipate those populations to respond by increasing. If we get a bad winter this year, or we get another blue tongue outbreak, we could still see a reduction, you know, in those herds. And that's why I can't say with doubt that those populations are going to increase because we removed antlerless harvest. There's opportunity for those density independent events to happen.
Is that, Barbara, is there anything else?
Nope, that's fine. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. All right. So, and just to your point, I think the staff recommendation, Eric kind of clarified, is the fixed late season. And that, you know, as we get testimony on that in the CR 102, it will contrast, our hunters will be contrasting the fixed late season to the current one, which is sometimes shorter than the fixed season that's proposed, and sometimes longer. So that's the status quo difference. And I think we'll, if staff goes forward with the proposal in the CR 102, we'll certainly learn from our hunters how they feel about that. So I'm not seeing any other hands or questions. So I think then it's time to thank everybody for a really robust discussion. And again, I want to acknowledge, you know, we've been looking forward to the three-year packet on this committee for 3 years, actually, because we get hunter input in terms of ideas for rule changes. And just to sort of review for our new commissioners again, the way we do hunter rules is every 3 years is when we make significant changes to hunting that in the intervening years, it usually is. In the intervening years, the hunter rules mostly are based on our population data and harvest data and making some adjustments in areas just in terms of numbers to be harvested, those kinds of changes. This is when we actually change the approach to harvest or add some new opportunities or changes. So, but throughout the 3 years, we've been receiving testimony and ideas, and we've discussed them with staff and all of this to say, staff, it's really impressive to see how attentive staff is and the work that goes into preparing for this. And this is another example. We, as we've noted, discuss whitetail hunting a lot. Constituents bring it to us, and we ask staff to really do a deep dive. They have. This has been a tremendous amount of effort that's gone into it, and I want to just really acknowledge that and thank you for all of your work and for the discussion today. So with that,
Dale has his hand up. Did you? And so does Kelly.
Oh.
It feels like we're wrapping up, and I hate to take a step back, but I'll be honest, I'm having a little lack of clarity here. So in the will of the committee and recognizing it's not a vote and the committee is for guidance, so appropriate sideboards on it. But we basically boiled this down to status quo or staff recommendation unstructured. I heard Commissioner Linville say status quo very clearly. I heard Commissioner Thorburn say, I think go ahead with the staff recommendation and we'll learn a lot. And I heard Commissioner Baker say she's mostly with Molly. So I feel like I got about a 1.5 to 1.5. And it's not clear to me what the will of the committee is.
Okay. Molly?
I'm about to be very unhelpful, Director. I apologize.
Thank you.
Because there is a conservation aspect to the recommendation, I would also be comfortable with that. And I guess I didn't really get the feeling. I think the reason why I said status quo was because it seemed like maybe the department was just, you know, making a change for the sake of making a change. And that didn't seem worthwhile to me. But then when Brock went back and tied it to a conservation effort, then I'm comfortable also with the staff's recommendation. I hope that's clear.
Yes, thank you.
Jim?
Yeah. I generally do support the options of status quo and the structured season. You know, I'm with Molly. I think, you know, there's a lot of effort, a lot of interest on the part of especially the Northeast group to see something change. They've been supporting this idea for quite some time. And I tried to wrap my brain around it and see how it could work. But what I'm hearing is significant difficulties with regard to an actual implementation of that for the benefits that would accrue. And so I'm having the status quo and the alternative structured season approach as part of the CR 102.
And Barbara?
I'm good with status quo. I'm good with having the structured season as an alternative and hearing what the Hunter public has to say about it. So that's where I am. Kelly, did that clear it up for you, or do we need to do another round of that?
I think it clears it up, and just to make sure that my clarification is the same as everybody else's, I'm hearing go forward with it again. With this is not a decision-making body, but that we would go forward with the staff recommendation and see how that pans out in the comment on the 102.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not seeing any other hands.
Commissioner Thorburn, this is Nikki. Dale has his hand up. Do you want to take that, or?
We generally don't take, well, we've got time. We can let, this is Dale Naggart. Dale's from the Northeast Wildlife Group, they're real interested in the APR. So we've got about 4 minutes left. You can go ahead and let Dale.
Okay, Dale, I went ahead and unmuted you.
Dale's muted. You need to unmute yourself. So is that *6 or?
Yeah, *6. There you go.
Did that work?
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I really didn't think I'd be able to. I see the hand down there, and so I clicked on it just for the heck of it. And I appreciate this. Basically, I can be real brief, or I could go probably on forever, but your status quo, your... I'm sorry?
I know how you go on forever.
Your status quo, you know, versus a reduction in season length, and that's what we're talking about now. I mean, you fancy with the structure or whatever like that, but we're cutting season. That is what we have been saying all the time, is that we have you know, three options that we can do to maybe start improving what our situation is up here, and that's being a limited entry, cutting seasons, or an APR. And of those, the general public has ruled in favor of the least of the worst, the better of the three options as far as the general public is an APR. So now if you're going to put a CR 102 out there asking the public to cut the seasons, which is absolutely completely undesirable for about 95% of the hunters out there, you're just wasting ink on paper as far as I'm concerned. So you've just ruled, in my opinion, for the status quo to continue on up in here. One thing that has not even been mentioned, Brock was just talking a little bit ago, and he was talking about how to improve ungulates, about the antlerless harvest is the only, well, not only, but that improves herd numbers better than anything. Our predators did not come up one time in this whole issue, and we're dealing with that big time up here too. So the status quo, we're going to continue to see the decrease. It's going to continue to get worse. And in a couple of years, you guys are going to have to address this again. And once again, we're going to be looking at probably the same three options. I think NWWG, though, I'm speaking kind of for myself here, I'm tired of this. I really am. We've been standing on the rooftops and yelling that we're looking at serious trouble up in here. And we are, and it doesn't seem to be getting through. So anyway, I'm really sorry to hear what I've heard out there today. I thought we were putting a pretty good argument out there that something needs to be done. And we get into this, these yearling fawn bucks are breeding all the does and so on and so forth. And it's just, another thing, here's one little quick thing too here. I would like to see the breakdown on if you change that structure, probably 70% of the bucks that are killed in the late season are killed in the last two or three days. So if you take a little bit off the front, you're going to save a few, but you're not going to save probably a proportion of, say, 20% or whatever the days they cut off are. So. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I'm not happy. So, but thanks for the opportunity for me to say that, okay? I appreciate it.
Okay, Kim, I muted him.
Okay, I don't know if we've lost Commissioner.
Yeah, I've been trying to unmute myself. Sorry. Thank you, Dale. We do really appreciate all of the thought that you put in, and we are paying attention to the whitetails. And I think, as Brock has talked about, this is if we adopt the structured season, the structured late season, it's certainly something that we'll be looking at in terms of the herd health. We are paying attention to that. So, thank you. For your testimony, and thanks to all of the commission members and this and staff for this really discussion.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So I'm not.
Hey Kim, seeing... Lorna has her hand up.
Okay, Lorna.
Muted.
You're muted, Lorna.
Shoot, that's always takes so long. Sorry. So I hope this is just a quick question. If it's not, we can explore it at another time. But I understand the whitetail population in Northeast is not where we'd like it to be necessarily. And I'm just wondering if we're looking at other considerations like habitat restoration, habitat improvement, and if that's one of the issues with the population. And, you know, it seems like bringing up the population overall ought to bring up hunter satisfaction and hunter opportunity. So just an open-end question.
Yeah, there's a lot of private land. So in terms of habitat, there are some barriers.
Commissioner Thorburn and Smith, maybe Brock could respond to that. I would point out, and you know, we just heard some comment, but we have made some recent changes to our hunt structure for both cougar and black bear. So we have actually taken some management actions on the predator side of the equation. Now, it, you know, remains to be told if that's going to, you know, have an impact or not. But those were some changes that were made by the commission very recently that does relate back to this. And then I don't know if Brock or Anise would like to chime in. I know we're out of time here, but the habitat question also involves, you know, a lot of public forest service land at high elevation. And there has been, you know, change over time, successional growth there that's changed that forest and quite likely is impacting the amount of available habitat in the areas that we're talking about. And others know more than I do about that. So I'll stop there.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is just that we're always looking and advocating for opportunities to improve whitetail habitat, but we own so little of the land base. You know, that's trying to advocate with timber companies, the U.S. Forest Service for, you know, forest treatments. But the Forest Service has their own oversight and regulatory restrictions that limits what all they can do. But we're always looking for those opportunities. Another big driver for when you look at Northeast Washington is the agricultural crop base in Northeast Washington. They don't produce near as much grain as they used to. And that's very important for whitetail populations that are living on that interface. And so I think that's related to, you know, kind of the relationship between habitat and the whitetail deer numbers up there.
Thanks. Anything else? All right. Well, I think we're over time. And again, thanks to everyone. It's been a great session. And Kelly, just to check once more, are you good?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thanks, everybody. We'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.